Friends and Christ and family of Bethlehem, we are Christians living in a woke world. And we're going to get to that, but first I want to go over a little bit what we've heard today in today's scripture readings. So a lot of important things. Today in our Old Testament lesson, we heard from the prophet Jeremiah, and we call him the weeping prophet. He's crying out over the circumstances going on in his life. And he says this, he thinks he's too young, right? God calls him to be a prophet to the people, but he says, how can I be called a prophet? I don't even know how to speak. I am only a youth. I'm a young person. What does God say? Before I even formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you and I consecrated you. I set you apart for a special purpose. Let's get her done. In our second reading, we heard Paul, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, and what's going on around him is that culture thinks too highly of itself, right? You can have all the ability to speak different languages. You can have the greatest faith in the world. You can do all these great things, but if you don't have love, guess what? It doesn't matter. He says, if I speak all languages, understand all things, have all faith, give away all I have to the poor, but don't have love, I am nothing. Really similar to our day and age. We're getting a little bit closer. And then finally, we heard our last lesson, the gospel reading today. And just part of his ministry is to heal. But the problem is, all people want him for is physical healing. They come from everywhere, and they bring anybody who's sick to him, whether it's an ache or pain or a demon possession, and Jesus takes care of it. The people sought him, and they came to him, and would have even kept him from leaving them. They would have kept him for themselves. But Jesus says, I must preach the good news. It's not just about healing, folks. I'm here to save lost souls. And all three readings have something, a common thread in mind. It tells us a lot about the day and age that we're living in this world. What that means is, today, people still cry out. But it might not be for the same reasons. In our world, we say that we live in a woke world. Raise your hand again if you've ever heard of this term before. It's kind of new, but it's getting around pretty much. Well, what do we mean by that? Let me first do a little bit of a history lesson. Why the word woke? One of the most famous quotes is from this guy pictured named Karl Marx. He's not a person, of course, we want to emulate as Christians. In fact, he hated Christians. He hated capitalism. He hated all the things that's going on in our world. And he said this, religion is the opiate of the masses. We heard of an opiate crisis, people with heroin and stuff going on. Opium is a drug that is meant to make people feel better. And he says that about our faith, that all religion's good for is just to make you feel better. It's the opiate of the masses. And here he was trying to convince people that religion is a drug just to make us happy or give us the illusion of happiness, to numb our suffering and oppression. We need something more than religion, says Karl Marx. And he argued that people find comfort in religion, but it's not to fight against oppression. So he wanted each person to wake up or be woke, to get off the drug of religion and discard his illusions, regain his senses so that he will move around himself as the one sun in the sky. Now, though he didn't term this term woke, he wanted. When we think about it that way, all of a sudden these separate groups that we belong to kind of dissolve. It's not about race. It's not about gender. We're all already equal. And that's a great thing because it all ends up that we belong to Christ. So today, when we hear this stuff going in the news, whether we have problems in school, in our jobs, people are arguing over these are the things that already matter. These are the things that we need to remember and rehearse and speak out loud. Yes, we are already equal in the eyes of God in both our sin and both in our salvation. So, what does that mean for us? We should love others and care for what we deem the oppressed because all people are loved by God. Yes, as Christians, we rejoice in having a good conscience before God because Jesus shed his blood to pay for those sins. There is no guilt too great that can't be washed away. This gift is to be cherished and protected so that we live with peace with these other people in our world. As Christians, we recognize that much of what we believe and hold dear is under assault. That's why we have to talk about these things today. We are fighting a war over our faith, over our soul. If we say nothing, we're going to be even more hurt. This is not an accident. What's going on in our world is not compatible with our faith and openly acts against it. Our battle is not against flesh or blood or even a political party, you see. Our battle is against the lies of the evil one. Sin is in the world because Satan is in the world. Very real, very evil presence. And so we have a call to stand firm with one another. To be united, not because of what we look like or say or do, but because we are united already in Christ. And so this ideology that we're living in, that you see in the news, or it's propagated in schools and our workplaces, that somehow our moral worth, or moral responsibility, it's tied to being a part of a particular skin color or gender or income or other factors, that also will end up leading to more evil. We've seen this going on even in our own state, in Kenosha. Riots happening, people getting hurt, things getting destroyed for no reason. When there's already other ways that we can deal with evil. Don't add evil to evil. And so as Christians, we are always to examine our thoughts, words, and deeds in light of God's word. We're going to do that today and the next few weeks to unpack how do we continue living as a Christian in a woke world. Where we sin, we repent, we turn from it, and we find God's love and forgiveness right there where it always was and always is, at the cross of Jesus. So today, I want to do something fun. In your seats, there's a Bible. We're going to take our Bible out today, and we're going to look back again at that scripture reading that we heard earlier. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we call this the love chapter of the Bible. We hear it a lot at weddings, but guess what? It has nothing really to do with weddings other than love. It tells us about our ordinary Christian love each and every day. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in your pew Bible, it's page 960. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's talking about love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. We need to hear this now more than ever, right, folks? But here's the thing. It's not just on your or my individual act of love. As Christians, we know that God is love, right? You ever heard of that? God is love? So let's do something fun. You might not have ever done this before. Instead of this word love, we're going to put Jesus back where he belongs in his word. Replace the word love with God. And let's read it again. God is patient and kind. God does not envy or boast. God is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. It is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God never ends. Our answer today with the stuff going on in our world, whether it's everyday problems or stuff that is just too much to deal with, it all ends up coming back to God and his love. And if we can see God as loving in the midst of anything evil, so can you and so can I. So walk along with me today in the next few weeks. We're going to see how we can be Christians and live with courage, live with faith, and always know that the final word is love. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great love and kindness shown to us by giving us your very own Son, Jesus, to die on our behalf. Help us to share that love by our words, our actions, and our words and actions of kindness. Help us to be courageous, to stand up for the faith given to us in all that we say and do today. In your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.